Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host. Welcome to this hour of diving deeper into our life with Jesus. There's nothing in this world so wonderful as living with Jesus Christ in the challenges and joys of our lives. He makes a difference. So I hope you'll hang out with me today. I think it's a gloriously happy day. In many ways, but you know me, I'm upbeat. I always smell the roses, and so I hope that you'll join me and stay with me. I want to begin with this prayer from the shorter Christian prayer used by mostly the lay people in the Catholic Church as a kind of companion to the prayers that the Pope, bishops, priests, and the religious sisters use, and every day. And so this is the prayer: in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, send your mercy and your truth to rescue us from the snares of the devil, and we will praise you among the peoples and proclaim you to the nations, happy to be known as companions of your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless our time together again today. I'm pretty excited. We're going to talk about a few things and some things that are near and dear to my heart as a person who joined the church, the Catholic Church, in 1999. I wasn't raised in the church, but I was a Christian my whole life. I have been a Christian my whole life. And the joy I have in being Catholic is indescribable. And some of the things that I hope to share with you today have to do with part of the reason for that. Pope St. John Paul II, I call him Papa John Paul. It's hard for me to think of him as anything other than that. But when he was asked about how he was able to avoid hatred and despair and all of the reactions that are pretty typical to us when there was so much evil and injustice in the world, especially during and after World War II, he would reply, and I heard this and I have buried it in my brain because it's such a call to we Christians. And I'll read it to you. Surrounded, this is a quote from Papa John Paul, surrounded by an abyss of evil, I can only respond with an abyss of love. Isn't that what Jesus would do? Isn't that what Jesus would do? I'll read it again. Surrounded by an abyss of evil, I can only respond with an abyss of love. Those words speak to our hearts in a profound way, because it's very easy to get caught up in what's going on in some places in the world and even in our families sometimes that are just so out of control. Not everything. There's a lot of good in the world, and we've got to remember that and look for it. But when we are in the midst of serious, serious challenges and evils, it is wonderful to hear from this saint who lived through much evil that we need to respond with an abyss of love. And so I think this leads this quote leads to a powerful way of living as an abyss of love and hope in today's world. The Catholic Church dedicates each month of the year to a particular devotion. Okay? This is so that we get a well-rounded understanding of all of the different resources and ways that we can be Christian in this world. You know, it's very simple, but at the same time, there's so much available that we can take advantage of. And so the month of October is a super powerhouse month. Super powerhouse month. It's dedicated to the Holy Rosary. Now, before you turn me off and say, I've heard it all before, or I don't care about the rosary, I don't believe in the rosary, or whatever, I'm asking you to pause for a minute and hang in here with me. Today in particular is the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. We honor Mary today and the rosary, not because we worship her, but we do honor her. There's a big misunderstanding of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters who are Christian. They think that we, some of them think that we worship her. We do not. We do not. Worship is only for God. So Pope Francis has declared today not only that we're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, but he has also declared today as a worldwide day of prayer and fasting for world peace, because today is the one-year anniversary of the horrific attack on Israel that caused the outbreak of the Israeli-Hamas war. And there's other people involved with it now, too. So basically, this is the one-year anniversary of that horrible attack, and Pope Francis has asked we Christians to pray and fast for peace today. Okay, if you haven't had a chance, you didn't know about it, and you've been, you know, not participating in the prayer and fasting, you can begin this evening. You can pray this evening. You can fast this evening, because those two things are very powerful. Here's a quote from Pope Francis. In this dramatic hour of our history, while the winds of war and fires of violence continue to devastate entire peoples and nations, the Christian community is reminded of its call to put itself at the service of humanity. The Christian community is reminded of its call to put itself at the service of humanity. And I tie that to Papa John Paul's abyss of love. Being at service of humanity. But what does Pope Francis mean by putting ourselves at the service of humanity? And how has he called us to do it today? Because today is a very important day. And I pray with all my heart that you will participate in it, whether you're Catholic or not. Prayer is powerful, and all our prayers going up to the Lord will make a difference. Will make a difference. So what does he mean by putting ourselves at the service of humanity, and how is he calling us to do it? What he is saying is basically he's asking us to set aside time. And each day, especially today, and offer the most powerful force available to believers, which is prayer and fasting, to the Lord for world peace. And in particular, to pray the rosary. Again, please stick with me. I have a few things I'd like to tell you about prayer and the rosary and the Lord that you may not have heard before, may not be aware of. So, going back, you know, when Jesus prayed, the disciples noticed the power that would come from those prayers, as well as they found his prayers and his demeanor while praying so attractive that they begged him to teach them how to pray like him. They wanted to have the empowerment in their ministries and in their lives that comes from prayer. They knew it was real, but they really didn't know how to pray the way that Jesus did. So, of course, he taught them. He taught them the Our Father. And we all, most of us, no matter what church you belong to, pray the Our Father, or some call it the Lord's Prayer. But it was a prayer left to us to teach us. And so, and he also, you know, he taught by example. He could have sat him down and say, okay, so every so often you go off and you pray and you do this and that, and then not do it or do it in private and they would never see it. But no, he instructed them, but he also showed them. He was an example to them, and it was really wonderful. He was teaching them then and us now that when we pray, we are connecting to the powers of heaven. When we pray, we are connecting to the powers of heaven, just like he did. Okay? He has opened that channel of communication and intimacy with God the Father that only he can provide. And those prayers will have great effects on our lives and on the world. It's been promised, and most of us have seen it in our lives. And so, he also told them a parable in Luke 18 about the necessity for them and us to pray always without becoming weary. Pray always without becoming weary. And it was the story, the parable about the woman who went to a judge who was not a believer and not known to be very sympathetic, went to him time and time again and asked him to intercede for her. She needed things, and he could provide that for her. And he would just, you know, ignore, but she kept coming back. And so eventually he says, okay, already. I'm just going to give in to you and do this for you because of your perseverance. And Jesus was showing us that even though sometimes when we pray, it may seem like God our Father is not paying attention, but he is. And he always answers our prayer one way or the other. Yes, no, and maybe. So just remember that, okay? And one of the things that Jesus always did was he shared and taught about the most important and essential things that were needed, that are needed in the life of believers. And one of those most important things was prayer. I don't think any of us really realize the power of it. Because sometimes, I mean, things happen immediately and you know, wow, that was a quick answer to prayer. But a lot of times we don't get to see it firsthand. We hear about it later. Or it might take multiple prayers and time. Sometimes it takes years. my brain is not working today. St. Monica, St. Augustine's mother, she prayed for that boy forever and ever and ever. She never gave up. And years and years and years went by, but she kept praying. And her prayers were answered. Her prayers were answered big time. So he became I mean, you can Google him, you know, search him out, St. Augustine. It's amazing what the man ended up doing for the Lord in answer to his mother's prayers. So don't ever give up. Another thing is that we see Jesus. See, we need to look at him because he has shown us the way, the real way to live. And the Son of God, who could like do anything with the snap of his fingers, was teaching us that he prayed before important decisions, before and during events, before meals, in thanksgiving, in sadness, for himself, for others, for nations. He prayed all the time. And he wrapped his entire life and ministry in prayer. Remember that. Jesus Christ wrapped his entire life and ministry in prayer. Let us resolve to be like him. I promise you that if you do this, you will see the difference it makes when you follow Jesus in your prayer life. You will see it. You will. And plus, you'll be doing this in a way that actually lifts up the world to the Lord and provides grace for all of the challenges and needs of the world. This is true. This is true. I've seen it myself, and most of you have too. And if you haven't, try it. Try it. So what I'm asking you to do, along with me, is to every day provide this great service to humanity that Pope Francis is calling us to. By our steadfast prayers, fasting at least once a week. Our Lady has asked in the past that we fast twice a week on Wednesdays and Fridays. But if for some reason you can't do both of those days or either one of those days, find a day of the week that you can fast. Okay. I'll talk to you probably in a couple of weeks about the power of fasting. A lot of us think, oh, well, we just give up sweets and go on our merry way. And, you know, after Lent is over or whatever, we'll go back to eating them. And like it has no power. Fasting has great power. The disciples came to Jesus. They had been they'd been out on mission, were trying to cast out demons and things like that, and they weren't having any success in a certain town. And they came back to him and said, what's going on? Why can't we do this here? And he said, well, this particular situation is very dire, very serious, very difficult. And these kind of situations need deeper prayer and fasting in order to have the power to do what you need to do and the power to overcome what's going on in those areas. So prayer and fasting. Fasting is important. It's so important. A lot of us have lost our devotion to fasting. We think of it as a thing from the past. All right. Or you might have listened to Jesus when he said to the Pharisees, why don't your disciples fast? And he said to the Pharisees, the people don't fast when the bridegroom is present with them. So, in other words, there was no need for them to fast because Jesus was there. He was dealing with all of the needs that fasting would provide at that time by his very presence. But when they were away from him, off doing their ministries without him, they needed that fasting. Okay. So anyway, I want to read to you the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, going along with this prayer and fasting today for world peace, and in particular for the conflicts between Israel and its surrounding neighbors. I want to read to you an article and prayer of Cardinal Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. There is a little article, and then there is a prayer, and we're going to pray it together. Okay, so here it is. This is from October 7th. Well, it's for October 7th, but it was written September 26th. Dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you peace. The month of October is approaching, and with it the realization that for the past year, the Holy Land, and not only, has been purged into a vortex of violence and hatred never seen or experienced before. The intensity and impact of the tragedies we have witnessed in the past 12 months have deeply lacerated our conscience and our sense of humanity. Violence, which has caused and is causing thousands of innocent victims, has also found its way into political and social language and actions. It has struck a profound blow to the common feeling of belonging to the Holy Land through the consciousness of being part of a plan of God's providence that wanted us here to build together His kingdom of peace and justice, and not to make it instead a reservoir of hatred and contempt, of mutual rejection and annihilation. In other words, he's saying here, there has always been a common feeling amongst believers that we belong in the Holy Land, to be a part of God's providence and plan for the Holy Land and for the world, to build together His kingdom of peace and justice, to not let the Holy Land instead be a reservoir of hatred and contempt, of mutual rejection and annihilation, which it is. Their enemies are trying to move it towards that. So the letter continues. In recent months, we've already spoken out clearly about what is happening and have repeatedly reiterated our condemnation of this senseless war and what has generated it, calling everyone to stop this drift of violence and have the courage to find other ways of resolving the current conflict, which take into account the demands of justice, dignity, and security for all. We can only call once again on those in authority and those who bear the grave responsibility of making decisions in this context to a commitment to justice and respect for every person's right to freedom, dignity, and peace. We too have a duty to commit ourselves to peace. First, by preserving, we too have a duty to commit ourselves to peace. First, by preserving our hearts from all feelings of hatred, and instead cherishing the desire for good for everyone. We too have a duty to commit ourselves to peace, first by preserving our hearts from all feelings of hatred, and instead cherishing the desire for good for everyone, by committing ourselves, each in our own community context and in the forms we can, to support those in need, help those who are personally invested to alleviate the suffering of those affected by this war, and to promote every action of peace, reconciliation, and encounter. Yet we also need to pray, to bring our pain and our desire for peace to God. We need to convert, to do penance, and to implore forgiveness. Therefore, I invite you to a day of prayer, fasting, and penance on October 7th, a date that has become symbolic of the drama we are experiencing. The month of October is also the Marian month, and on October 7th, we celebrate the memory of Mary, Queen of the Rosary. And then he says, may each of us with the rosary or in whatever form he or she sees fit, personally, but better again in community, find a moment to pause and pray and bring to the merciful Father and God of all consolation our desire for peace and reconciliation. Attached, you will find a prayer proposal that may be used freely. We invoke the intercession of Mary, Queen of the Rosary, for this beloved land and its inhabitants, sincerely in Christ. So before I break for the half hour, I want us to pray this together. Please join me by listening and putting your heart into this prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father of all mankind, who in the cross of your Son, and through the gift of his own life, at great cost, you wished to destroy the wall of enmity and hostility that separates peoples and makes us enemies. Send into our hearts the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he may purify us from every feeling of violence, hatred, and revenge. Enlighten us to understand the irrepressible dignity of every human person, and inflame us to the point of consumption for a peaceful and reconciled world in truth and justice, in love and freedom. Almighty and eternal God, in your hands are the hopes of mankind and the rights of every people. Assist with your wisdom those who govern us, so that with your help they will become sensitive to the sufferings of the poor and of those who suffer the consequences of violence and war. May they promote the common good and lasting peace, and throughout the earth, the Virgin Mother of Hope, obtain the gift of peace for the Holy Land that gave birth to you and for the whole world. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to break. I'll be right back. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our second half hour of the show, Duke and Altum. We were talking in the first half hour about Pope Francis calling us to a day, worldwide day of prayer, especially the Rosary, for world peace on this anniversary of the horrendous attack on the nation of Israel a year ago. And prompted a very serious war, and it appears to be getting worse and worse, and so we have to be careful that we try to build peace around ourselves without but God, and also to pray for peace in the places where we can't be peacemakers. Okay, we can be peacemakers through our prayers. And I want to speak to you about something that has meant a great deal to me since I became Catholic in 1999. It is the rosary. Some of you obviously who are listening know the importance of praying the rosary, and some of you don't. Even Catholics sometimes don't realize the importance of praying the rosary and what comes from praying the rosary. My dear Christian brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, who are like I used to be, who have not prayed the rosary and don't know anything about it, or have been taught that it's not a proper way of prayer, I'm going to ask you to please listen to this half hour, because some of you don't realize that many of your pastors and leaders have found that it's a good thing to pray the rosary, that it's a prayer system, if you want to call it, or method, that is good for all Christians to pray. Some of them have even started their own rosary prayer groups. So, believe it or not, it's not just for Catholic Christians, it's for all Christians. And I want to inspire you to pray it because it's so powerful and it's so good for us, for our spiritual well-being and for the world, for bringing graces. It's phenomenal the effects praying the rosary can have on us and on the world. And so I want to share that with you. And I wrote down as a little note to put beside for, it's a prayer for all Christians that said, "Oh, that we would all realize the power entrusted to us in the unity of praying together the prayers and words and of the rosary with the beads." Okay, so I want to share a little bit about it for you. I have seen tremendous answers to prayer through praying the rosary as an individual, but especially in a group. Okay, it's powerful, and I feel that in this day and time, for such a time as this, we need real, proven spiritual resources to use to bring peace and beauty back into our world. Order. You know, so many things are out of kilter right now, but the Lord's hands are still there, and He longs for us to pray so that he can pour out graces. And our Lady, Jesus loved her very much. And there's no way that he would get mad at us for loving her too. He would be happy. Think about your own mother. Were you ever angry when somebody loved your mother? Who really respected her, loved her, admired her? No way. It was a joy to have a mother like that and to have other people appreciate her. This is Jesus's attitude towards us. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Please don't let anyone discourage you from looking into being a lover of Our Lady. You can never love her too much. Jesus doesn't look at that as we're choosing her over him. No way. No way. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the answer to everything that we are dealing with in life. But he has a mother. And he has a father. And he has us. So we're all connected. Anyway, what the rosary is, and even some Catholics may not realize this completely, but it's a prayer It's a meditation on the Gospels, on the Bible, on the life of Jesus in the Bible. It's a meditation. It's a pondering, like Our Lady used to ponder things in her heart. It's a pondering, a slow pondering of these stories about Jesus and facts about Jesus, and enjoining Our Lady Mary's prayers. We join our prayers for her. She prayed. It speaks in Scripture of the prayers of the saints, and that's the ones here and the ones in heaven. Always praying, always bringing petitions before the Lord, praising the Lord too. So it's basically a meditation on the life of Jesus. And it's in union with the prayers of Our Lady. And I want to read to you, we are her children. You may not realize it, but we are her children, her spiritual children. I want to read to you in Revelation 10 in the Bible. Revelation 10 speaks of various battles of angels and demons. It speaks of victory over evil by Jesus Christ. But it also speaks of the spiritual battle on earth before his return, which involves our Blessed Mother Mary. It also speaks of the spiritual battle on earth before his return, which involves our Blessed Mother Mary. And one of the verses says this: Then the dragon, the evil one, became angry with the woman, Our Lady, and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible even says she's your mother. So look what you're just finding out if you didn't know it before. And if you did know it before, maybe it wasn't as real to you as it should be. I want to read that to you again. The dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. That's us. That's we believers. Us believers. Okay. Every Christian is not only a child of God, but is also a spiritual son or daughter of Mary. Be thankful, my brothers and sisters, for this great, great gift and blessing of having so wonderful a mother in heaven. If you haven't looked at Our Lady, you might want to study her a little bit. You can search online for all kinds of wonderful ways that Our Lady showed us how to be faithful, especially in dark times, especially when we didn't know what was coming in the future. I mean, look at what she went through. She's this lovely young woman who's visited by an angel, is told something absolutely remarkable, and to many other people probably would have been unbelievable. But she, in her faith, chose to say yes. She chose, without even knowing what it meant or understanding the challenges that it was going to bring, she said yes to becoming the mother of Jesus Christ. And I read something not too long ago. It's scientific that the baby in the womb, the lifeblood of the mother nourishes the baby, so the baby's and mother's blood are united in a special way. And so even after birth, there's still a bit of each other in it, in each one. So Our Lady had Jesus in her womb. He was in her womb, and they are united for all eternity. And you, mothers, with your children, are united through all eternity. So it's perfectly normal for us to think that Our Lady has a special, special connection to Jesus. Unlike the rest of us, it's a profoundly special and unique unity with Him. So, I don't know if you remember this, but did you know at one time National Geographic magazine was a major magazine in the United States? It basically took you all over the world in pictures and articles. And if you couldn't travel or you didn't know something about a country or a practice or a lifestyle, you could open one of those magazines every month and just live in the world through those articles. But it's kind of defunct now after COVID, but and all these years, a lot of people aren't reading magazines anymore. But National Geographic at one time called her the world's most powerful woman. Mary, the mother of Jesus, at one time devoted an issue to her and said she was the world's most powerful woman. Okay, and Time Magazine at one point called her the most revered woman in history. Time Magazine, the most revered woman in history. Muslims too honor her because of the extensive praise of her in the Quran. I, as you know, volunteer in Chester with children with Mother Teresa's sisters for a summer camp in the summertime in July. And we went to the Elmwood Park Zoo. And we had a wonderful time. And there was a Muslim woman there who was doing face painting. And I had 13 girls in the group that I was chaperoning. And we went over to her and you just talked to her and looked at some of her artwork. And she said, "Let me paint all your faces." And we said, "Oh, we don't have the money to pay you." She says, "No, I want to do it as a gift to you." And so it was like, "Oh my goodness, of course, thank you so much." You know, see, you can't put people in a box because she was Muslim. Somebody might have looked at her and avoided her. No, she was a wonderful woman. She painted all her faces for free. And the only thing I had that I could give her was a miraculous medal with Our Lady on it, because I knew that they love Our Lady, and I knew she wouldn't be offended by it. So I said, "This is all I have. It's an image of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I know that you revere her from the Quran." And she was so excited to get it, genuinely, sincerely happy to be given that gift. So, Our Lady has a special connection to all peoples in the world, even non-believers. Anyway, back to the rosary. The rosary is a calming, peace-giving, power-filled way of prayer that has provided profound answers and peace to many generations. There are many individual examples of answers and even miracles to these prayers in the rosary. If you're interested in looking into it a little bit more, there's lots of resources, but there's a wonderful book that I have used for years. It's called 101 Inspirational Stories of the Rosary. It's thick. Has lots of individual witnesses to how the rosary intervened. Praying the rosary brought graces that intervened in powerful ways. So go out and get it. 101 Inspirational Stories of the Rosary by Sister Patricia Proctor, OSC. And on the front of it, it says a quote from Sister Lucia, the lone surviving seer of Fatima at that time. Sister Lucia has passed since then, but Sister Lucia said, "There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot solve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." My Christian brothers and sisters, get a rosary. Get a book on how to pray it, or seek it out on the internet and learn to pray it. There are tons of apps out there that have short versions of praying the rosary, long versions of praying the rosary, beautiful meditative ways of praying the rosary. The Hallow app has it. There's just tons of them. Key into this, pray it and see. Pray it and see. I can't say enough about it. I can't say enough about it. But anyway, I want to share with you. There is another book that's awesome, The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis by Carrie Gress, Dr. Carrie Gress. I want to read to you a short little part in here about the rosary. It says here, when the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, the large Japanese city was flattened. Within seconds, 500,000 people were gone, vaporized by the blast. A charred, smoldering swath remained where a once thriving city stood. Miraculously, 1 mile from the detonation point, one structure, though badly damaged, remained in the sea of nothing, the Jesuit Church of Our Lady of the Assumption. Not only did the church survive the blast, but 4 Jesuit priests came through the cataclysmic event with nothing but a few scratches, and none experienced deadly radiation side effects. Father Schiffer, one of the surviving priests, said they attributed their survival to the Blessed Virgin Mary. "We were living the message of Fatima. Our Lady had appeared at Fatima and called for us to pray the rosary and do other things to avoid wars and everything. So they were living the message of Fatima. We lived and prayed the rosary daily." And then Dr. Gress goes on to say, "When feeling pressure from the outside world, our first impulse is to think of something huge to transform the world. When the huge eludes us, we are left feeling helpless and ineffective. But Our Lady asks for the small, the hidden, the tiny acts performed, as Mother Teresa said, with great love. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, in her little way, exemplified this, which made her a doctor of the church. Like Naaman the leper in Scripture, who was told by the prophet Eliseus to simply wash 7 times in the river and went away angry because the cure was so simple. Often Christians look past the rosary because it isn't complicated or grand enough. While there are other elements of Our Lady's call that can be included, such as Marian consecration and the Angelus, which is a prayer prayed every day at noon, the rosary is at the heart of devotion to Our Lady. There is a reason the rosary has been called the spiritual weapon of our times by Saint Padre Pio and others. It has proven to be effective time after time, like the tiny stone thrown by David to vanquish Goliath. The small beads of the rosary can rid the world of the evils represented by the Philistine, such as pride, impurity, and heresy. Only the humble can access this spring of power, while the prideful are confounded by its littleness. This is a magnificent book. please buy it and read it. The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. And this is a book for Catholic Christians and our other Christian brothers and sisters. Okay? And so I want to also read to you parts of another article about the Rosary. It is, it doesn't have the author's name on it. But anyway, it says, the best way to celebrate the month of October is, of course, to pray the Rosary. But why is it that on October 7th, the Catholic Church celebrates the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary? Why is it? There's a reason. On October 7th in 1571, a great victory over the mighty Turkish fleet was won by Catholic naval forces, primarily from Spain, Venice, and Genoa, under the command of Don Juan of Austria. It was the last battle at sea between Ord ships, which featured the most powerful navy in the world, a Muslim force with between 12 to 15,000 Christian slaves as rowers. Can you imagine how big that naval force was when they had 12 to 15,000 Christian slaves, or needed 12 to 15,000 Christian slaves to power these huge ships into battle? The Turkish army had close, or navy, had close to 100,000 people in that army, soldiers and others that were participants in these battles. The Christian armies were outnumbered 7 to 1. 7 to 1. Knowing that the Christian forces were at a distinct material disadvantage, Turks had invaded part of Europe, Eastern Europe, and were heading, they wanted to take over all of Europe and wipe out Christianity. And so they were making their way towards Rome. Rome was their main target. And so they knew, you know, the Pope knew this was coming. And so he knew that their forces were at a distinct material disadvantage. So St. Pope Pius V called for all of Europe to pray the Rosary for victory. We know today that the victory was significant. It worked. It also prevented the Islamic invasion of all of Europe, Western Europe, and evidenced the hand of God working through Our Lady. At the hour of victory, St. Pope Pius V, who was hundreds of miles away at the Vatican, is said to have gotten up from a meeting, went over to a window, and exclaimed with supernatural radiance, "The Christian fleet is victorious," and he shed tears of thanksgiving to God. What you may not know, now this is something for those of you Catholics that know about the Rosary, what you may not know is that one of three admirals commanding the Catholic forces at Lepanto was Andrea Doria. He was the foremost naval leader in Europe at the time. He carried a small copy of Mexico's Our Lady of Guadalupe into this battle. This image is now enshrined in the Church of San Stefano in Aveto, Italy. Not many know that at the Monastery of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain, one can view a huge worship lantern that was captured from the Muslims at the Battle of Lepanto. In Rome, looking up at the ceiling of St. Maria in Araceli, and you'll behold decorations in gold taken from the Turkish galley ships. In the Doge Palace in Venice, Italy, one can witness a gigantic Islamic flag that is now a trophy from a vanquished Turkish ship from the victory. At St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome, close to the tomb of the great Pope St. Pius V, one was once able to view yet another Islamic flag from the battle until 1965, when it was returned to Istanbul in an intended friendly token of concord. At Lepanto, the victory of the Muslims was won by the faithful praying of the Rosary. Even though they had superior numbers, the Turks really were overmatched. Blessed Padre Pio, the spiritual father of the Blue Army, said the Rosary is the weapon. And how right he was. The Battle of Lepanto was at first celebrated liturgically as Our Lady of Victory. Later, the feast of October 7th was renamed Our Lady of the Rosary. Victory and rosary, they go together, and extended throughout the Universal Church. And with that, we are back to Fatima, Portugal, where Our Lady, when asked her name, she said, I am the Lady of the Rosary. At Fatima, Our Lady taught us to pray the rosary every day. Heaven presented its peace plan at Fatima and truly gave us hope for the world. Conversions were promised at Fatima, the conversion of sinners, the conversion of Russia, the conversion of everyone, and what also appears to be the conversion of Islam. Okay. So, I want to share with, well, basically, I'll share with you next time. Pope Francis, as Pope Francis said when he called us to prayer and fasting today, let us walk together, let us listen to the Lord, and let us be led by the breeze of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord hear and answer all the prayers offered today for healing and peace in the world. I won't be here next week because I'll be at our golf outing fundraiser all day. I'll be back in 2 weeks, but I hope you'll come to our fundraiser, if even only to eat with us and enjoy the other festivities besides golfing. Believe it or not, there's a lot of fun going on there besides golfing. I don't golf. So call 610-527-2906 to register for the event or to do something beautiful for God by making a donation to our, so that we can continue to speak the healing grace of God to the world through this network. Until we're together again, I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me, Kathleen McCarthy, all the broadcasters, and all the wonderful people behind the scenes who make these programs possible here at His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Goodbye. God bless you. See you in a couple of weeks.